All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is 12-year NHL veteran and Philadelphia Flyers forward, James Van Riemsdyk. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What's going on, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorelia? Just sit. Oh, nice jersey, bro.
Yeah, you too, man. Yours. How did you get a black one?
Mine's black. Yours is orange.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Must be reversible.
Oh, I know. It's reversible. Sick.
Good catch.
Dude, it's
looks
been
pretty,
great.
Pretty good. Yeah,
I love it. And we've been getting lots of orders, which is awesome. People rocking it. So
thanks for the support. We appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate it. And it just, I don't know. I just feel a little tougher in this thing when I have it.
Yeah, you look tough, man. You look tough. Especially you roll up the sleeves.
Yeah.
Knuckling it up.
I take the elbow pads off before I have to.
Now, of course you do.
But, you know,
a little more range.
I'm still 0-4-1. I can't lie.
It happens. Well, you
can't
look good.
Say that about you, though, brother. Anyway. No,
my fighting days are over. Here we are.
You're a lover.
I'm a lover. Yeah, man.
You know, in our men's league game, though, you were still able to chop that puck up.
Oh, well, that's never going away.
Nah, I'm kidding.
His hands aren't getting softer.
Hey, dude, you know you have good hands. The funny thing is a couple of the boys on the bench when you were out there, they were like, I don't want to call him out. Well, it was Ritzy. I think it was Ritzy. Yeah. Ritzy goes, holy fuck, Nass. Like, Riley can really skate. And I'm like, bro, he played in the fucking NHL. Like, you think he never skated? He just, like,
I sat on the bench the whole time.
Yeah, I know, but it was just kind of funny because like, right. Dude, like the slowest guy in NHL would bury anyone in this you know, immensely, you know, like, but it's guys don't understand it, but it's just kind of funny. It was kind of funny.
And I'm 25 pounds lighter. I'm 185 pounds soaking wet. I'm not a fat ass anymore.
But so. You can skate though when you play it. You're a fucking run guy. I remember your first, that fucking first hit on Sean Hill.
Yeah.
Was it Sean Hill?
Sean Hill, yeah.
Oh my, it couldn't have worked out any better. You came off the bench at just 100 mile an hour in an angle, and this guy came and it's like he didn't even see you and just, oh, boom! Man.
The hits were a lot easier when I was able to skate in a straight line. I didn't have to turn, turn like a battleship.
Frankie Bailos used to say that, but Frankie wouldn't even turn. He would be 5 seconds late and run through and just boom off the glass and the whole building. But they would go crazy and he didn't even hit the guy. We're like, oh boy, what the fuck?
I had a few of those too. Yeah, just the big Francois. Bang and
Francois. We're gonna get Francois.
We gotta get Frankie on, man. He's
lots of people asking for the Animule.
Oh man, he's a legend.
I had a guy just ask me again the other day. I've had a lot of emails about that. You gonna get Frank Bailos on there?
Yeah,
don't know if we've got enough time for this guy. The stories, but
man,
yeah. So Riggs, little surprised last night with the outcome. I wasn't. You were, because you said Vegas is gonna kill him. I'm like, I got Montreal tonight. I'm kidding. What
I think everyone was betting on Vegas last night.
I'm sure we could find the numbers out somehow, but I would love to know how much was put on Vegas and, you know, all together last night, because you just got a feeling after them winning, you know, finding a way to win in overtime and then coming back home to that place. That's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
And I mean, they got beat, man.
Like, yeah, they got beat.
It wasn't even like, I don't want to say it wasn't close. It really wasn't, though.
Yeah, Montreal looked like the better team for sure. No question.
They did. I mean, everything they did. And then, like, I know you and I were talking about, like, this Cole Caulfield kid. Like, everyone's talking about him. But the release this kid had. I mean, it's not a secret. I'm not trying to act like I'm the first person to see this kid play. But, like, the pass from Corey Perry.
Yeah.
Fucking high end. Kind of reminded me a little white chocolate, but what a game. I mean, they played amazing. Carey Price, dude, this guy's on fire.
Yeah, like, man,
you never know. You got to finish, not over till it's over, but I'm not pulling for Montreal, but it's like, it's hard to pull against them when your team like playing this well.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, no one gave them a chance. No one even thought they'd be in the playoffs realistically.
I mean, if you
look back, you know, before the playoffs, a few weeks, like they're not going to make, you know, they're not even going to make it maybe. But anyway, it's been an entertaining series. I was shocked last night at that game, but I enjoyed it. But tonight, what do you think? We're going back to Nassau. The New York Islanders got thumped the other night.
Yeah,
and I mean, it had started a minute and a half into the game. When you're playing, you start the game, you know, you're like, okay, it's big chance here to go up 3-2. Puck, Stamkos passes, goes off someone right back to him with an empty net. You're like, this might not be our night. You know, like, you don't want anyone in the NHL to have a wide open net looking at him, but Stamkos, and then, you know, next thing you know, it's 8-0.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough. Yeah, it'll be interesting how that goes. Yeah. My money's still on Tampa, whether they win tonight or not.
Yeah.
Tampa is the better team. Islanders, you know, the storyline is pretty nice there, and besides that last game. But we'll see going back to Nassau. I mean, how that goes.
Yeah, and knowing Barry Trotz, he probably hasn't slept. He's probably thought about, okay, here's what we got to do. And the guy's such a great coach. And that's not taking anything away from Coop either.
Yeah.
Tampa's coach, because he's obviously a great coach as well. But I liked what Kyle Palmieri said in his post game interview. He's like, you know, we got killed. We weren't ready. We didn't play well, but we could have lost in double overtime and maybe felt worse.
Yeah.
It's a loss is a loss at this point. No matter how bad it is, I mean, obviously it stings losing 8-0.
Yeah,
but I'm with you. I think Tampa is going to win the series. I don't know about tonight though. I just feel like the Islanders might push this to a game seven. I could be wrong, but
yeah, they're a tough team. It'll be a dogfight for sure. Yeah, I agree.
I don't think I should know this, but I'm not sure if Barzell did not get suspended, right?
No, I think he got the $5,000 fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think there was an intent there. I know his stick came up. It looked like he was trying to get him in the shoulder and it came up, but
yeah.
Barzell doesn't.
Yeah.
He has zero history of anything. You know, like if he would have gone straight at his chin, it would be one thing. But anyway, we'll see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting game. I can't wait to watch it, man.
Yeah, me too. All right, Nas, let's jump into our interview with JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, episode 29, presented to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to the great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that is still in contention, bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is secure and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code Knuckles for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, PA only, new customers only, wager paid out in site credits, restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Let's go.
Let's go, Knuckles.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are very, very excited to have our good buddy from the Philadelphia Flyers from New Jersey's own, as they always like to say, Mr. JVR, James Van Riemsdyk Reamer. What's up, brother?
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Oh, dude. We're thrilled to have you.
It's been a while.
Yep. Tell me about it. It's been too long.
Yeah, no kidding.
We should tell everyone we almost had you in studio. Yeah. Meaning that's what we call it when we shoot. Tell us what's going on, man. Like you've started your summer, obviously a little bit premature from what we were all hoping, obviously. Yeah. But what's going on?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, didn't necessarily expect to be home as quickly as we are this year, just with how the season went. But just. Back in Minnesota now, just enjoying some time out here on the lake and just getting acclimated again to your summer routine and getting back into training and back on the ice and stuff like that. So it's been good to be back in the sense of we had a house that we just finished building right before COVID started. So now we're finally fully moved in and settled in. So it's just been nice to enjoy some time and time out here, and definitely looking forward to getting started next year. So that's obviously I already started to get prepared for that.
Nice. I was just going to ask you, so you're kind of over the recovery phase and back at it, or are you still kind of lightly dipping your toes back into it?
Yeah, I say like kind of with the stuff that I generally do, it's a lot of it is relatively similar throughout the whole year. So I don't take a ton of time off. I think, again, for me, just with my routine and what I found has worked best for me and my body and stuff like that is just, again, doing stuff to just stay as super elastic and pliable. The Tom Brady, I know I probably shouldn't bring up the Tom Brady on all the Philly, and all the bad blood there. But no, I think, again, I've definitely admired the way kind of he's approached his craft, and you can't really argue with the longevity and success that he's had. So I think it's definitely, That's definitely a part of the game that I love as far as just finding different ways to improve and get better and kind of maintain that longevity. So certainly, again, that kind of rolls over into all different facets of your life, whether it's how you train and prepare, nutrition and sleep. So definitely always trying different things to try to maintain an edge any way I can.
Yeah. Can you talk more about that? Because I was going to ask you that question anyways. Is, you know, I look at you as a guy that kind of figured out how to take care of himself, you know, the right way. And you talked about longevity and prolonging your career. I think you've now wrapped up 12 NHL seasons and you seem to keep getting better. Arguably this year might've been your best season point production wise out of all 12, maybe minus one of those years in Toronto. But it also just goes to what you're doing off the ice. I know I've spoken to some of the younger guys on the Flyers and they look up to you as you're kind of like the alternative veteran. You know, you're kind of in your own little world of like these things that you get into. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, and I've kind of learned this world after I retired. But can you talk to like what you're doing? Because, you know, the evolution of training went from like heavy lifting and pounding your joints and stressing your body out to almost this more restorative, you know, type of approach to training.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is something I'm super passionate about. I can definitely talk your ear off about. But I think for me, it's just obviously I love the game, and I've always just growing up, even just was always doing things, whether it's in the driveway shooting pucks or jumping rope. I was lucky enough to have coaches kind of at a younger age be like, "Hey, we're going to do some push-ups and sit-ups and box jumps and just pretty basic stuff at that point." But I was kind of always intrigued by that and just the different kind of factors that would go into performance that were away from just your time that you'd be on the ice at practice or playing the game. So I think I was always kind of interested in it, and then going to the national program, they kind of ingrained that that kind of commitment that it takes and that schedule that it takes and how hard you have to work. And like you said, I think that was more of when I first got introduced to a lot of this stuff, it was a lot of, again, heavy lifting, a way different style of training than what I do now. So that part, the evolution of that has been pretty interesting. So I think, again, I always try to surround myself and meet different people who come from different perspectives as far as performance and things like that, and different things they may be able to teach you and things you can learn from yourself by putting yourself in these different situations. So I've definitely been able to pick up a bunch of different things kind of over the course of my career. But I think, like you mentioned before, it's a lot of kind of restorative based stuff. And just, again, just maintaining that kind of elasticity and pliability that your body kind of has and wants to maintain. And ultimately, again, we put a lot of stress on our bodies by doing a very unnatural thing like skating and playing hockey. So again, with all the kind of I guess the load that puts on you, that you want to make sure you're doing things to kind of, again, help restore and help recovery and things like that. So it's kind of having that fine balance of knowing the times when to push, knowing the times when to give your body some love, I guess, to really help recovery and stuff like that. So yeah, it's definitely always something I'm constantly learning about.
I love it. It's called wise effort.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, Reamer, and you know, like, so when Reamer came back from Toronto back to Philly, I busted his balls. We were fortunate enough to do the 2016 World Cup. Did not go the way we wanted.
No, that was
the
tough,
The first pre-tournament game was unreal. We beat Canada, you know, I was just like, we're going to win this, you know, and it just, things didn't work out the right way. But anyway, it was still a great thing that, you know, you get to work for your country and do all that. And Reamer, you know, got to play and all that stuff. So anyway, I go to unload Reamer's bag. Now I had seen James, but I haven't, you know, held his equipment, messed with his equipment. I go to move his bag rigs. I'm like, there's a body in here. I think Phil Kessel came in his bag. I think the thrill wanted to come that bad. He missed, but seriously, I open it up and Reamer's got bands. He's got, you know, his shakes and stuff, which everybody kind of has that, the shakes and that. But then when he ends up, he comes back to Philly, the, you know, 2 years later, obviously, his first year back, he had his bands, and Reamer, you're in the room doing all those movements, and guys are busting his balls. And, you know, Reamer's played in the league. He's not like that's going to bother him. Everybody's busting balls. But I remember saying, I said, this shit is going to work. This is like the next
this is
thing.
The future of training, right? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, she's taking notes.
He's doing all these movements, and I'm like, and I, you know, Reamer's only a couple years younger than me, and so I'm trying these moves, and I'm like, this is actually kind of cool, and like, I would take his band to try to do this stuff, but I'm like, in a couple years, there's going to be a line, it's going to be like a conga line, but guys are going to be behind Reamer doing all these moves, well, but to your credit, it's like Riley said, like, yeah. I mean, you're not declining. Let's put it that 100%. Way. Not that you're old either, but this stuff is working, and it's, I think more and more players are probably doing it. Obviously I haven't been there in a year, so I don't know what's going on, but to Riley's point though, it is amazing. And and like you said, all that pounding for years running. I remember you guys used to have,
It was terrible
when you first came. I mean, think about that. Like, we never really thought about it. You're pounding on pavement. running like that just can't be good for you.
Like, it was just the old school way of thinking. It was just like effort, more work. We never talked about like recovery and this restorative nature of the human body, because it was more about the short term, wasn't about the long term. There's so much money now in the training, you know, it's just so much more knowledge around it. And the guys for that adopted are the guys that can sustain.
No, I think like you said, it's like trying to work smart, and obviously everyone wants to work hard, but you got to find ways to, so you can find that translation. I think for me, the biggest thing that I kind of started to realize is that, like, I want to work hard, but if something I'm doing isn't translating onto the ice, then I need to start to reevaluate and, figure something else out. But you're actually kind of reminding me now of a good story of those movement stuff, because, I think the guys in Toronto who I had played with there, it was kind of like that evolution of, they kind of saw me do things and saw things adjust and knew that I was really into it. So nothing that I really did was ever that much of a shock. So like, my first year back in Philly, like obviously I hadn't been there in 6 years, and most of the guys, again, a lot of these things I developed just, as I went to Toronto and kind of, again, started to figure more of these things out for myself. But guys were like looking at me, like, I know I'm probably like chirp me when I'm in the locker room, when I'm not in there, like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? But no, so like we're at our rookie party, and like, again, obviously it's one of those things where you guys all know, it's like, sometimes we'll get someone up there to maybe say a joke or sing their college fight song or whatever. And then I guess all the guys got together, and they did like a little skit where it was basically them doing like a dance. I forget what song it was now, but they were basically doing my whole warm-up routine, like dancing to a certain song. Like, it was actually pretty good. I wish there was a video of it, but these guys were probably like, what the hell is going on? But now, like you said, I think now a few different guys, over the course of my time back in Philly now, have definitely, ask you some questions and pick your brain. I think that's the great part about being on a team sport, because obviously, in my situation, you learn different things from the guys you played with, particularly when you're younger, and to be a good influence on younger guys and to kind of help them along in their process to try to maximize what they want to be as a player. I think that's part of being a good teammate and stuff like that too. So it's definitely something now. I know that's probably part of my role on the team, is just, again, being a good influence and trying to, again, set a good example about being a good pro and trying to make sure you're ready to play and practice and stuff every day to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have more influence than you think. I mean, you know, like, not just 12 years in the show, but like, you're kind of embodying your experience, you know, as you go, and it's translating. Like, that's the biggest thing. It's not that you're just not doing something and then you're just like the same. Like, I didn't watch you as closely as I did this year. You know, your previous 6 years at Toronto, I know you had some really good years there. You know, point production wise, but you seem stronger than I remember, and like fat, I don't know, I say faster, you just like this year. I mean, we talked about you a lot on this podcast, which is just like, you're always kind of like that consistent player that you always showed up, and you're always kind of expected, you know, we got what you expected out of you, right? Cause you just seem to be moving and efficient and knowing what you're doing. It makes a ton of sense. And like I said at the start, your best year production wise, I mean, you only played 56 games this year, was this year. And like to Nasty's point, like you're getting better with, you're like a fine wine. You're getting better with age. So, you know, I'm circling back to what I wanted to get at. Yeah. It's just that these young guys should be extremely grateful to have you around the locker room, you know, because it's like you're obviously a very coachable guy. You're a good guy, easygoing, good teammate. And then you got this other dimension of you're doing it differently, but in a wise way. And I think the organization itself can learn a lot from you as an individual. So props to you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, guys.
I think it's really good for these kids. Like you said, Riley, seeing Reamer do that. And it's not as, it's probably not, I don't know if what they're doing in colleges, but it's not like Reamer, like we're kidding around saying like some of the guys would be chirping you. Well, it's the older guys, right? Because that's just, you know, poor Jakey. And we said it with Jakey. Jakey can't touch his toes unless he bends, you know, unless he's sitting in a chair and he touches it. But it's things that do translate. And I mean, you're obviously a highly skilled hockey player anyway, but these things, you have to stay in shape. You have to be able to move. Like you said, like, you're in a tough, like people say, oh, like this guy's, you're in a tough area. Like you're in front of the net. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. The game's not like it was when Prongs was playing where you're going to wear fucking 10 on your back and nothing's called. I mean, you're still paying a price in front of the net.
Yeah.
And you know, not just goal scoring too, Reamer, not to just keep pumping your tires here, but
keep it going.
Yeah. Did you need an agent?
Get this.
I need a job, bro.
I might get record this and play it before every game just to get myself feeling good.
You can just come on every week, you know. But seriously, besides the goal scoring and like you see the ice really well, you can pass, like you do it all, man. And you know, you're a big body in front of the net there and power play, you know, you this year was awesome. Even your first year back, you almost had 30 goals. And what did we play that year? 66 games. I mean, like you just, you know, it's working what you're doing. Yeah. So keep doing it. I mean, obviously you worked hard as a kid and you still work on your skills and all that stuff as well. But this extra part, like Riley's saying, is huge. And I think it's good for those kids to see it. Morgan Frost, therapy, you know, Wade Allison coming in that day. What a treat he is, eh?
He's I love that. He's a character too.
I talked to him yesterday. He is so funny, that kid. But anyway, props to you, man. Like, you're just getting better and better. And I expect this to keep going for a long time, buddy.
We'll shift gears here a little bit, but just to end on that note and move on to the next thing we want to talk about, Jimmy Dowd was my Wiley veteran that I had as my centerman my first year, but he was the guy like you, like in the gym doing all these like subtle movements, and all I remember him talking about was just like self-preservation. It's just like it's just like restorative and all these things. So I learned, you know, that's what kind of like got me thinking in that direction was Jimmy Dowd. But I know you never played with Jimmy Dowd, but you must have a relationship with Jimmy Dowd, you know, having played your, you know, 6 years of your youth hockey in Brick, the hometown of Jimmy Dowd.
I mean, I can't say enough good things about him and kind of what he's meant for me and my career and my family and just hockey in New Jersey in general. I think again, like growing up, obviously we all love the game. Everyone has that dream of like one day, like again, playing hockey at higher levels, whether that's whatever, high school, college, NHL. And then he was the guy that we could look to that we, you know, this is possible. Like there's a guy from Jersey who's done it and right. Had a great career and whatever. So like he was, again, I got a chance to meet him just growing up playing in the Brick Hockey Club. And then he actually for a while there was hosting a high school summer all-star game for guys too. So like that's again when I started to get to know him a little bit better. So he was really big on giving back to that area hockey wise and kind of showing the way with that. So again, he's someone who's always made time for me and my family and just been a great role model for us. And I can't say enough good things about him. So he's been awesome. And I know he's got his kids kind of going through the ranks now. I think one is going to go to Penn State maybe. And
he's
know
playing,
I
remember
the other one might be in the Chicago Steel then, or he gives some Instagram updates every once in a while that to see what's going on. So, glad to see his family's doing well too. And like I said, he's, obviously meant a lot to me and my family and just the New Jersey hockey in general.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like Riley said, we had him on and you can watch that episode and hear all his story, but yeah. It's a wild story, man. Like, you know, he could have shut it down and he said, you know what, I'm going to keep going. And he did. He ended up with many more years actually. And his last was with us actually, but he was a beauty. Like, He was
the wily old veteran.
He was the wily old veteran. There's stories we can't tell to protect the innocent, but I wish we could. Yeah. We'd probably be the number one podcast in the world if we. Yeah. He's just a great guy, man. And I just look at him and start laughing because there's just certain things that are just etched in my memory.
Come right,
He has done a lot for New Jersey. You're right, though, with really the hockey and you know, yourself and Stoley, being from up there, you know, there, that area.
And your brother, too. I mean, most people don't realize I have a brother that plays in the NHL, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got his, I've got a TBR stick.
TBR.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. Like you said, him, too. He's definitely carved out, was a little bit of a later bloomer, but he's definitely carved out a nice career for himself and continues to. Keep trucking along here. So
we got to get you a cup here now.
Yeah, no, he's got that over me right now. So we get a lot of, obviously now with him being in DC with the Caps, like it's, I mean, unless we were playing for the Rangers and the Devils, I don't think it could have worked out much better for my parents. I mean, both of us now in the same division there with a not too far of a drive. So like they can, again, now they get to go to all those, like, again, between all those home games for us, at least definitely in Philly, where it's that short of a drive. I think my parents can come to like 50, 60 games a year between and then all those divisional games. So it's nuts. So, we're definitely lucky in that sense.
No doubt. Did he went to the Flyers rookie camp at one point? Did he not?
He came one time to a development camp.
He came in the summer. I think after maybe his second year in college, and then he went back for one more year.
I remember him coming in with his hair, and I'm like, "Whoa, what's going on?" He had the long, then he took it right down.
Seriously, he had the serious flow going back
too. I remember that.
And what did the Flyers miss there? Because I feel like the next year, was he not in like a full-time American leaguer? And then like the next year?
No. So it was, his route is kind of funny. So like he was same sort of thing as far as like he was trying to figure out what he was going to do. So like after he played 4 years of New Jersey high school hockey. And then after that, he's like, okay, like do I go to a Division III school and just kind of go to focus on the academics and have some fun and play hockey? Or do I try to like give it a shot, maybe play Division I and then kind of keep the dream alive. So he decided to go play a year of junior, and then he did really well that year. And then he started to get a bunch of scholarship offers, and he went back for a second year junior. And then the year after that, he went to University of New Hampshire. So he kind of went in there and then took off running. He was all rookie team there, and started to get some NHL interest. And then I think maybe it was either after that year or his sophomore year where he started to go to those camps, but he's a free agent.
Yeah.
So he's going to, I think he went to that. I think he just went to the Flyers one, and maybe he went to a Blackhawks one, and the Blackhawks seemed to have the most interest, I want to say, like through that whole process. And then he went back to one more year of school. He got hurt, missed like half the year. So kind of, again, maybe it was going to be like 20 teams interested. And then it was only a handful decided to sign with the Blackhawks. And then similar sort of story as his whole kind of trajectory. He goes to his first training camp, probably pretty low on the depth chart, probably 14th, 15th, whatever. Guys kept getting cut, and he kept staying alive in his first training camp. And then he made it all the way till the end and made the team out of camp.
Amazing.
That was first year. He had some tough injury luck that year, but that was the year they ended up winning the cup. So that was actually pretty cool to kind of witness that and see that. That's actually another good story for that. So like we were in the finals, he hadn't played since like, in that year, he broke his kneecap and missed a ton of time. Then he broke his wrist. So he's like, oh, my season's over. Obviously he's doing his rehab, and now they're getting like to the conference finals, and like, you're like, okay, you're going to probably be able to get cleared. So they make it to, they end up, again, he's still not fully ready. They win that round, and they're playing for the cup. And it's, again, they were kind of rotating through some other guys. I think Chemo, he was having, he had a revolving door of kind of partners there. So we were kind of, again, a little bit on standby as a family, just like obviously wanted to go watch the games if this happened. So I think he started getting in for, I want to say it was game three of the finals. He finally got in and he played the last couple games. So like for those games, I think there was three of them, three of those last four games, I'm pretty sure were in Chicago. So I was in Minnesota at the time in the summer. So like I'd fly in and out for all the games and then come back home. And obviously for Tampa, I wasn't able, there was a little bit of a jaunt. So didn't go to that one. So then for the final game, game six, they're up 3-2 in the series and game six is in Chicago. So, I'm with a few of my buddies and we're going to fly up the afternoon of the game, go have dinner and then go over to the game. So we're basically like a couple hundred yards above the runway. And then like the plane starts going like this, you see the weather, it's like, looks really like terrible. Right. So they're like, we're not going to be able to land. And I'm like, no, there's no chance like this is happening. So now what? So, God. So they drop us. So like we gotta divert the landing. So we're like, oh, here we go. So then they take us to Grand Rapids. I want to say it was.
Yeah.
So by the time we touch down there, it's like maybe like 6 o'clock. And obviously the game was starting at 7 or whatever. So I'm like, okay, we got to rent a car and we got to try to get there. Go. So we're listening to the game on the radio. Like it sounds like it's going pretty good. And then, again, it was going to be like super tight timing wise. So we rented this Kia Soul, me and my two buddies. And like, it's like a tornado out there. Like it's like the wind is insane. Like the rain is like, it's pouring. We're just like trucking along. We finally get there like at the very end of the third period. I think Kaner might have scored like the clinching goal like very late in the game. So we were there and we got to see just the celebration, and then obviously just what a crazy route and road it was for my brother to get to that. So just to be able to witness that and see all that was pretty cool, and definitely was happy that we all went through the kind of the gong show of, the travel escapades to get there. Yeah. It was like, I remember the guy like in the parking lot was like, who's like, why are you showing up now for the first, like your tickets have been here all game. Where have you been? It's like game six of the final. Like, yeah, like right. Don't even ask.
We don't have time.
Like,
this is what we planned.
Yeah. So we're like running in, we're like pouring, it's like soaking wet, but it's a pretty cool thing to see that. And then obviously to see someone like Chemo with the great career that he had to kind of just to finally get a Stanley Cup too. That was pretty special to see stuff that's like cool. That. It was pretty cool to see all that. Yeah.
It sounds like, well, we all know now, but Trevor made the right decision.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's a good thing he made the right decision. So that's a great story. I remember us talking about him at one point, and it's funny, you know, like kind of lost track of him. I knew he's in school. But then next thing you know, you just turn the TV on and it's Trevor Van Ryn. Like, what the fuck just happened here? You know, like,
yeah, but seriously. Yeah. That was great, a crazy route that he had.
It's a great story though. And he stuck with it and went after it. And it's awesome, man. You got to play with a thrill. I mean,
yep. Endless stories about him. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I remember.
He's obsessed.
I like. Yeah. Oh, I mean, how God. Can you not? I Who love Phil. I love Phil. I mean, this guy.
Oh, my God.
Now you might. Now see, we
is
need.
Is he
to
on
get
your
the,
program, JB?
I was gonna say we need to get the thrill.
Whatever he's doing, it works for him. He hasn't missed a game in like 15 years.
Hot dogs and cupcakes, and I'm not making fun of him. That's just him.
Works. Whatever works.
No. Hey, dude, the guy, Luke Shen, told me a story about him. They were a quick story. He got called in the summer, and whoever was the new strength guy or whatever it was called him. And I guess he was somewhere fishing. He's on his boat and they're like, hey, like we want you to come in next week for a couple of days. We're going to evaluate where you are. And he's like, what? That's baloney. Reamer does a really good thrill. What you
oh
do it?
My
what
God.
Did he say?
I'll have to try to let it fuck here when I tell a story.
Okay.
But it was to the point where like my buddies in Toronto, like they wouldn't even call to ask how I'm doing. They'd be like, hey, you got any Phil stories for me? Like that's how big of a legend this guy is.
Oh my God. He's unbelievable.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Just like just his kind of his just kind of temperament is like so just a lot of times I don't think he even realizes how funny he is, but
I know
he gets the boys roaring, so it's great.
With a smile on my face.
It was when he was when I was living over in Philly, and I'm a junkie. If we had a game, as soon as I get home, I watch the late games. Like that's just what I do. But I don't think we had played that night, and you guys were playing, and I just started chuckling at myself. I'm like, I'm going to fuck with Phil. He had a good game. He had a couple goals. So game ends, and I sent him a text. I'm like, hey, bro, great game. Was able to watch it. Nice snipes. And about 40 minutes later, I get a, hey, thanks, bro. You know, how you doing? And I'm like, good. I said, hey, I got a question. He's like, what's up? And I said, what size pants are you wearing?
He just got right in his kitchen.
I swear to God, I had just hit send. I think it just said deliver. And he goes, why? Away. And I'm like, well, they kind of look like you're wearing a box. They look really, are they XLs? He's like, fuck you. I'm reading it how he talks, you know, like in my head, I'm reading, fuck you, man. And,
My God.
And I was like, oh, sorry. They're not XLs. And he's like, no, they're larges. And I said, okay. Yeah. My bad, buddy. Well, hey, good game. He's like, fuck you, man. Yeah. So the next day I get a message from Pappy, the equipment manager in Toronto. Yeah. He goes, what did you say to Phil about his pants? He's tried on every pair of pants I have here.
I thought he always unzipped the inseam there. Or cut him. I didn't know it was an extra large size.
I just knew it would bug him. If I just asked him, I could have said they look great afterwards, but I knew
he was in his head, man.
So easy to get.
His stick crack too was funny because like he was having an issue finding like a stick that he liked, and it was a few generations old of it. So like literally each guy is like their own like stick box, and like whatever, you have five or six sticks in there. Like in Toronto, it'd be like he'd have like five of those, and it'd be filled with probably like 50 sticks, and he'd be like, just next. And like all just through, like he'd go down, he'd like fire one, like it looks like it's a rocket to anyone else who's watching it. And then he'd come back to the branch. Smash it over the boards, and then he'd be asking.
Grab the next one.
Like calling for Pappy to get him another one.
I told the story before, but it's so funny. Like we were at Pittsburgh when he ended up going to Pitt, and the boys come out, and I like stick my head out of the locker room because you guys were just coming to the rink, obviously, as they're skating at 10:15 or whatever time, 10:30, and I see Phil, so I kind of walk out to the bench in Pitt. Well, here he comes right over. Sully's got the boys. They're starting to do stuff. And Phil's leaned on the boards talking to me, you know, and I'm like, fuck, maybe you should go over there. And he's like, I said, hey, what's going on with those sticks? I said, I saw you been watching the games, obviously. I said, looks like they don't have much pop. He goes, fuck me. That's right. They don't. And he must have said pop because I said they don't have like pop to them. So Tags comes down like an hour and a half later at lunch, and he goes, why'd you say that to Phil? He's like, he must have said the word pop 15 times in 30 seconds. My stick's got no pop. You know, and so, you know, I was all over him. The one night, a good one, real quick, we're in Toronto playing you guys, and Phil's you know, where I stood in the center ice, where the visitor's bench is, the sticks are there. It's kind of an odd place, but that's where they are. So then Pappy was always right beside me where that partition is, and Phil was sitting there. So I'm like looking at Phil going, big time. I'm telling him, you're a big time. You know, just fuck with him. He's like, I tried talking to you. You won't talk to me, you know, like that. And Pappy's got a sniffer, and he leans over and he breaks it, and he does it to Phil's stick. He's got the gloves going. I'm like, oh my God. Perfect. But anyway, Phil, you got to play with Phil. You got to play with Austin Matthews. What a player, huh? Like,
yeah,
he played with a bunch of good players, but he's
he's a complete freak. So I remember with him, like, you obviously hear everything about him, and you never, I don't think, ever truly appreciate how good certain guys are until like you're on the ice with them, like on their team and stuff like that. And obviously, again, we'd all seen the up and leading up in his draft year, all the highlights and things like that. And I remember the, like one of those, we had like one of those captain's practices, like right before the season was supposed to start. And then like right away, you could tell like this guy is going to absolutely torch this league. So it, yeah, I mean, he came in, he had that 4-goal game right off the hop, and yeah, he hasn't really looked back since. But I would say the biggest thing too, that was kind of impressive about him is I think just his kind of appetite and curiosity to really improve and grow his game and just really take things to the next level. So I think obviously, again, he's continually just keeps raising the bar for himself and keeps finding ways to be more productive and stuff like that. But yeah, he's always someone looking for an edge, looking for a way to get better and improve. And it's crazy. Like you see, as good as he is and as good of a goal scorer as he is, like it's not really like he has like one, like, again, you look at a lot of different guys, especially that are that good. They have like a signature sort of calling card or how they score a lot of their goals. And for him, it's like, yeah, like he has that wrist shot where he scores a lot, but he scores some one timers. He scores right around the net. He's like, again, he's very crafty. So he's got a lot of different elements and a lot of different clubs in his bag that he can use to continue, like, again, to score goals, and it makes it really hard to play against them. So again, he's someone that it's been it was fun to definitely play with him those couple years, and it's been really fun to just kind of see the show that he's been putting on since. So
I was shocked, Reamer. Obviously, you see whenever someone, oh, this guy's 6'2", whatever, 220, like, he's a big kid, man. Like, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa, when I first met him. I think it was the first time I saw him, like, right beside him was at the All-Star game. I think it was his rookie year, 17. That was the year. Yeah, that was the year I went. 2016, 17? Was that his rookie year? Well, it was the year I did. Year I did the All-Star game. So it was 2017. And he came in, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know he was that big. I mean, I didn't think he was going to be small, but he's a pretty big body, too. But you're right. He's a skilled player. He's pretty.
Yeah. And then just the way that the puck too, he's one of those guys where the puck just seems to like stick to him. So like he's going into a pile and he's like able to pull it out somehow. And you're just kind of like sitting there wondering like how he just did what he did. Like he's always seemed to find ways to do that. So
his first game, what do you have? Four goals.
Like, yeah. I mean, four goals. Yeah. That's kind of making that, especially, I mean, again, playing in a place like Toronto, having those expectations, I don't think you could draw it up any better. People are probably like, okay, let's see what this kid's really got. And then, all right, are against playing the Battle of Ontario and puts up four. So he's been
kind of
rolling with that ever since. So,
set the bar pretty high.
No.
They there's a lot of jokes out there too about, you know, you got all the Leafs fans, Reamer, after this year, because I know they expected a lot more, man. Oof. I mean, we had it tough here this year, obviously not making a playoffs. It wasn't the way we all envisioned things going, but for them, man, it's like you get people like jumping off bridges almost, you know, like they're so upset.
Yeah. You know, like, again, I think here too, it's like, now it's a little bit different up there in the sense that with the Raptors and the Jays, but obviously the Leafs are always going to be what kind of drives the ship. At least in Philly, obviously there's a little more attention on some of those other teams too. But certainly in Toronto for that to go the way that I'm sure they were, no one was really expecting that. Certainly that couldn't have made it easy. Going into the summer now.
I got to be honest, I never saw that coming.
I did not really either.
But we've talked about
that. I'm sure, yeah. Like, you look at, I don't think many of the people who are making their predictions were predicting that. But I think, again, that's the crazy part about the playoffs in our game. Whatever you like, again, it just, I don't know. It definitely makes it interesting to watch no matter what round it is, as far as, again, you can see stuff like that happen, and as shocking as things like that, when they do happen, they are, it's not quite as, you're not as shocked as you could be if it's a different sport, like in a lot of other things, as we know, it's like, you're kind of, doesn't really start until like the conference finals and in some different things. So
that's true. Not all that, you've scored a ton of goals, obviously, in this league, and you got a lot more to score. But your first playoff goal was in Boston when we came back, and it was in game seven. And I just wanted you to, the guys that have been on that were on that team, we always kind of bring it up. I hope people don't get sick of hearing about it, but it was just one of the best years I've ever had in my life. And that team, you guys, like, just remember Labby calling that timeout and say, we just need one, just get one before the period's over. Yeah. You know, that's you always see that too. You always see him, but you got that goal, man, you know, like, and then, you know, what a game, what a series. Obviously, we were on the good end of it. But, you know, your thoughts about, you know, your first year and then the run you go on, you know?
Yeah, I think that was like probably like double or triple the amount of games I'd ever played in the season up until that point. So I remember that being there was that being able to manage that and having a good, consistent approach is so important. And I think you don't really, it's hard to learn that except if you just go through it and realize that. So I think that's kind of what I remember going back through some of that is just the learning experience that it was. And I think it really helped set me up for the rest of my career as far as going through a lot of those important games that we played down the stretch to even get into the playoffs. And then once we even got there, it's just trying again. I remember guys pulling me aside pretty early, Danny Briere and Chris Pronger, and just being like, hey, like whatever it takes to win. I know again, you may not be, like you may not be scoring or whatever, but you got to finish your checks. You got to do different things like that to help kind of pull your weight a little bit, and just do those little things that that maybe don't show up on the score sheet. So I think just having someone point out the important moments that there are. Like that was huge for me. And then it kind of got me more and more comfortable as with the style of game that it was. And definitely going forward, I think just with the other playoffs I've been able to play in and been able to kind of hit the ground running from there. But definitely I remember that run fondly. And ultimately we came up a little bit short. But it was for my first year in the league, it was definitely a whirlwind to be a part of all that.
Claude Giroux was on last week, and we were kind of talking about that as well. And he was just like, you know, I'm new, and I'm like, oh, this is fuck, I'm going to go to the finals every year. Kid, like, you know, it's not going to be that easy, but you saw what it takes, and you know what it takes being you played in the league so long. It's not easy, man. Like being a pigeon like me, like equipment on the equipment side of it, seeing what you guys go through, seeing the injuries that people don't know about, and you guys never obviously bring that up. It's just, you got to be lucky. You got to be good. You got to get the break. I mean, it's just so many things come into that. Yeah. Winning those cups, man. It's, you know, it's just hard. And I think people understand it, but some people probably don't understand how hard it is. But that team that year, it's funny looking at that team, like you're like, how did it take us to the last game of the year to get to the playoff spot? Yeah, like, we had a good team. That's insane. We had a good team, man. I remember it. Obviously I was coming down on the wire, but like, it's like, God, we had a good team, you know? And it's like, it was a lot of fun. And that series, man, I still watch that on YouTube. Sometimes I'll see it on my thing and I just sit and watch, go game by game. It's like it's cut down into like 12 minutes, but I love seeing that. Yep. And it was awesome. And one of our good buddies, Vile Leno, our buddy Kakunk. it was funny. We kind of joked about him the other day. We're like, who is this guy? And he gets thrown in the lineup. Next thing you know, he breaks Flyers' rookie record. You know, even though he was 30.
Yeah, I was gonna say 30-year-old rookie.
I told that story last week where they give him the Lou Nolan announces it, and they show him on the big screen in Vile's.
Oh, that's,
you remember that? He's clapping.
My God, yeah, and that was so funny. Yeah.
Peter Laviolette like elbows me and goes, isn't he like fucking 30? How's he a rookie? I said, I don't know. But I tell you what, just the way him and Danny and Hartsey played together was the chemistry they built like that. Like, I mean, it was like right away.
That was definitely too. I felt like one of those teams where everyone had the pieces, like once we figured out how all the pieces sort of started to fit together and the different lines that were kind of in place and stuff like that, and the different roles that everyone had within the team. I think that's when we started to take our stride and take off. And Yeah, it's like you said, it's like something like I think we what did we either picked up Ville like
yeah we traded
like at the trade deadline or something OKT, like that, but it was kind Collison. Of a yeah.
Yep, that's
it was
right.
Kind of again in a move like looking back, if you were looking back on it at the time that that trade happened, like you wouldn't have expected to have that sort of payoff that it did. Like, I mean, or maybe Homer did, who knows? But I mean, obviously to have someone like that who's almost a point a game in the playoffs and stuff like that, and the chemistry that those three guys had together was pretty sweet too. So yeah, it was again like the pieces started to fit together nicely, and we kind of hit our stride.
Yeah, it was.
The funny thing is Ville was getting bag skated with me every day. We were like 13th and 14th forward, and just playing a little two pass with Joey.
Joey,
and then it got real for Ville. You're in the playoffs in the fire, now.
Yeah. I mean, I always tell Riles we should be thanking Riles. He got him ready to step in.
Oh man. Did I ever, man? Yeah. Tip top shape.
Exactly.
He was in prime shape when you got into the playoffs there.
He was.
Yeah. And I remember Riles too. Riles, you had the I think it was we always had those dinners the first night before, and I remember you did the lucky the full glass of wine, brim it before each round. So that was that. I remember that vividly.
Oh.
So
yeah.
So yeah, we're.
I think Hartsy prompted me on the brim.
Yeah.
And then I just went with it.
Brim it.
Had nothing to lose the next day, so I was like, may as well brim it for the boys. Yeah. Get a little skate in the morning.
Skate, do a warm up.
Do a little warm up. Oh yeah.
Patrol the red line. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. Well, I did get fined in the Montreal series that year. Remember, I put my stick in Alexei Kovalev's face. Just
what?
For no good reason, because you were too close to the red line. Nasty, you know that.
Oh my god. Dude, that's so funny.
Kovalev, he's
oh man, yeah. and then a couple years later, Nasty gets Alexei Kovalev to sign one of his sticks to me.
No,
because of that incident. So I got a Kovalev stick in my garage.
You got a Kovalev stick out of it.
You know what's funny is like curve. He had obviously you watch the videos of Kobe, like the mitts were just stupid. Yeah. I don't know how hard he really wanted to try, but whatever. He was so funny. I loved his style though.
Style, like, yeah.
Everything efficient. The tongs on his skates, the tape around his shin guards. So I literally, even when I play men's league, I try to do my stuff just like I want my pants just at my knee, you know, like anyone fucking cares. I can barely stand up. But I was telling Frosty that he was when Kovalev played in Florida. So Frosty had me a jersey made of Kovalev jersey, and he signed it to me. And it says, "Too Nasty, I love your on ice style."
Yeah,
Alexei Kovalev. Yeah. I was like, dude,
"Oh, that's a nice touch."
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Yeah,
that's great.
Riles, you had a question.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, the next year after we lost in playoffs there, 2011, you had your first Gordie Howe hat trick against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Who did you muck it up with?
Who was?
I gotta know.
Randy Jones.
It was Jonesy.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Jonesy. Yeah. Yep. No, I think that was definitely my first career fight too. But I'm trying to remember how it all happened. I think that was the first part. Yeah. So I think, let me just think here. Yeah. So I think I had the fight. Yeah. The fight was the first part of that. So I think he kind of hit G, a little bit questionable, and I was just going up to maybe just give him a cross check, and he turned around and went like this. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Oh, so shit.
Whatever, we had a nice little wrestling match, took my 5 minutes, and then ended up getting a goal and a helper, and I can now cross that off the bucket list.
Yeah,
so, there you go. Beautiful. So,
yeah. Yeah, not too many fights since then, but every
you
once in a while,
you
I guess.
You're a lover, man. You don't
need to, man.
The biscuit, the basket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's where the money's at.
Yeah.
that's classic.
One of the things, Raymer, that always I actually told Riley, kind of like I was kind of confused because obviously you and Claude are good buddies, you and G. But when you came in the first time, and there's that clip where he's calling you a pigeon, but he's really giving it to Phil. But then you kind of skate over. Yeah. I remember going like, "Why are you giving Reamer shit?" He's like, "I'm just fucking around." Yeah. Like I was like, "Oh, okay." Like I just he looks at Phil, goes, "Hey, Phil, drink a Pepsi today?" Phil's like, "Yeah,
a few of them. What about it?"
Yeah,
people love that clip. That like, yeah, because me, that started with me, G, and Hartsy kind of always making that noise to each other, and again, I don't know if that in the context of that, if like, I can't remember if it was us doing that back and forth or if I skated through, because again, it doesn't even look like I hear him. So it looks like I'm just in the shot. So
yeah.
No,
well, he was Mike. You may not have heard him, but
yeah. Yeah. Kind of no, people love that clip. Yeah.
That was classy. Yeah. So before we let you go here, I want to talk about your involvement with the You Can Play program, or you're an ambassador. I think you and Scotty Lawton. You want to talk a little bit about that and what you're up to?
Awesome. Yeah. So that I remember, I think it was either my first or second year and my first stint in Philly. So Patrick Burke, who was on the Flyers scouting staff at the time, and I had developed a good relationship with him just because he would be the guy that would come check in and watch the games. And when I played at UNH, and we'd always kind of keep in touch and had a great relationship. But anyway, him and Brian Berkey reached out about what they were trying to do with the You Can Play project. And I was part of that first sort of, I don't even know what you'd call it, if not, I guess, campaign, or where they made that video and things like that. And just wanted to kind of start to bring some awareness to some of these things that were going on, and try to, again, have more inclusion in hockey. So I think, again, it kind of started with that. And then over the years, it's crazy to think that hockey was at the forefront of that, in the sense of now it's like, again, a lot of other different sports and organizations throughout all different kind of businesses and things like that are all involved. So it's that kind of initiative was for a lot of hockey roots in the start of that. So that was kind of cool looking back on something like that and seeing how far that's come and where it's at now. So now I'm along with Scott Lawton, one of the ambassadors for that for our team. And again, it's just about basically, again, just being an ally and creating a safe space within our team. So that we can kind of, again, one of those things, hockey is for everyone, and we want to make people feel included and want to be a part of this great game that we have. So that's, I guess, kind of how my involvement sort of started and morphed into now where I'm an ambassador for our team.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, it's come a long way. Like you said, like, now you got teams, you know, fully backing this, and you know, leagues fully backing this, and guys are rocking the tape, and you know, it's good to see, because you know it needed to happen, right? I mean, it's the right thing to do, and you gotta bring some light on some darkness sometimes. You know, hockey and these sports are traditionally very old school, and just gotta be, you know, realistic with the way things are evolving, and inclusion should always have been a part of it, right? So important work for sure. And then you're also involved in another charity, Team Impact. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that's one that I recently got involved with in Philadelphia through kind of a mutual friend of my wife and I, Mark Brownstein. So he's part of this organization, Team Impact. They kind of pair different kids going through different treatments for things and illnesses and stuff like that with different teams at the college level, at the professional level, and things like that. So I've just started to kind of get involved with them and trying to kind of carve out the different things I can do to support and help with what they're trying to accomplish. And again, it's pretty cool stuff to again, just kind of bring that team experience to someone who's going through something pretty challenging in their life like that. So I think, again, with COVID, obviously it was a little bit more trickier to be involved, just because, again, obviously a lot of the direct contact in-person stuff was on the back burner for this year. So hopefully going forward in the next year, that's some stuff I can dive into a little bit more.
Nice. Yeah, I like that concept. You know, that team experience is really powerful, you know, especially when you're struggling and you feel like you're isolated on your own. You know, I think that really empowers, well, kids, anybody at that point. It seems like a good organization to be a part of. So appreciate all the work you're doing in the community.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Obviously making an impact, using your influence to do good. That's what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. So anything else, Nast?
Reamer, where was your rookie party?
It was in Florida.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's right. I was trying to remember where we had that one.
It's a sushi place, was it not?
It was.
It sounds about right. Ah.
What's the name of that?
No, I gotta get the. I think I still have the receipt saved from that.
Do you really?
But I gotta go check that. What the restaurant was, that was good. That was fun.
I've got pictures. Everybody used to always get mad, like, well, not get mad, but just be like, you're always taking pictures. And then at the end of the year, it's like, hey, do you got pictures from there? I'm like, yeah
exactly. See,
now you guys are like, why you got your camera? Because I want to remember this stuff. When, you know. But anyway, I was trying to remember where yours was, but anyway. Okay.
Yeah. I can't. I don't remember many of the details. Like probably for a good reason.
Yeah, the boys were a little bit harder on you back then. You know, it's more drinking. Yeah. Where it's almost like want the guys to like maybe remember it and not just
enjoy it.
Pass out, even if they don't remember a lot. At least. Keep them moving,
for sure. You know, compared to like the kind of some of the stuff that was college wise, this was wasn't too bad as far as that. Right. The guys were good to me, so that was good.
Yeah,
I think the rookie parties have tamed down over the years. They used to be,
I'm sure.
They used to be aggressive, man. I always just felt bad for the rookies for a few years, because it's like, let them have a cup of water, for God's sakes, along with a tinch. We just get in the place, you haven't even ordered the food. We're like, shots! Some of them weren't drinkers either. I've just spent so many. I was about 25, I think I did. It was like, whoa. But anyway, man.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, some of them. But Reamer, man, seriously, thank you so much for your time, bro. We, you've been a great friend to both of us, and it's nice to have you on. And heck of a career, and you just keep getting better. So you gotta basically have to play to your about 50, like Yogs.
Yeah, all right, like Yogs. Just keep it going.
I got
the recipe from him, I guess.
Hey, man,
following him. Yep.
He was the only thing about Yogs was he ran so much. It kind of surprised me how much he ran, not the sprints. I could kind of see, but like
that's the European way.
But he wore that 40-pound weight vest.
He also used to squat before games too.
I'm like, that just can't be good for your knees, running in a 40-pound weight vest when you already weigh what do you weigh, 220?
He's a big boy.
Big man. His ass and legs weighed 220. His upper body weight. But anyway, keep it going, bro. So nice you're back here in Philly. I wish I was still with you, but I'm watching and I get to see you, so it's all good. And we appreciate your time, brother.
All righty, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll have to do JVR 2.0, maybe take a sneak peek at your training regimen.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that for sure.
I'd love
for
to
sure.
do that.
So man. I'm actually I'm sitting in
There. Looky.
You better not have a basketball hoop in there. Reamer.
So that's the last part of the house that needs to be done. You see the lines. I got all that.
That is beautiful.
For the hoop to go on the wall. Right
for you, brother. I love it.
Dude.
Yeah.
You just ruined my day, man. Why couldn't I score? Why haven't I scored that? Why haven't I scored 264 goals in a national hockey and have an indoor basketball goal?
Yeah, man. Still got time, Nast.
Tell your old lady if there's a little midget knocking at the door, it's just me, because I'm going to come shoot some hoops with you for a week.
Shoot some hoops. Break that hoop in.
You can do your stuff, and I'll just shoot hoops.
Good thing the house is in Minnesota, not
good thing it's not around the corner.
Yeah.
I would house sit it for you. If you
exactly.
There we go. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
All right, brother.
All right, brother.
Great. All righty, fellas.
Appreciate
it. All righty. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you too, bro.
Take it easy.
Later.
Yep. Talk to you guys soon. See ya.
That episode was brought to you by Settlemyer Skate Sharpening. For the best grind in town, get your blades sharpened by a pro. Check out SettlemyerSkateSharpening.com. D-Nast has got the sharpen, got the gear. Check them out. And Body Check Wellness, hemp-derived CBD and functional mushrooms. For all your wellness needs, check out bodycheckwellness.com. A big thank you to JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, for hopping on the show. Awesome guy. What a leader. What a veteran, what a hockey career he's had, and he's got many more years of productivity left in him. What do you think, Nast?
I think he does, man. Like we talked to him about his the way he approaches the game. He takes it serious, not only on the ice, but what he's doing off, like we spoke about it. And, you know, I watched him. It's a routine he does every day. He doesn't stray away from it. He doesn't take a day off. And like we were saying, it's funny, the guys would be looking at him and he's right in the middle of the room. You know, some guys would go hide somewhere and do stuff like that because, you know, the boys are chirping him, but he does his routine and you could see it's working. I mean, it's even Scott Laughton spoke a little bit about it.
Yeah.
When we had him on and, in the studio, he takes that time and he does it and it's paying off.
Yeah.
Every which way, you know, contract, it's paying off on the ice, his production, staying healthy, knock wood.
Yeah.
So yeah, great guy. Like we've both known him for so long and just a happy guy, always smiling and fun to be around. His whole family's like that.
Yeah. He really is a genuine human, you know, he just, just really humble, conservative, just a good old boy, you know, just like, enjoys the game, you know, obviously an absolute pro. He's figured out his little niche and what he needs to do to take care of himself and create that longevity that he talked about. But, you know, he's a second round, I mean, he's a second overall pick. And you see guys that really are so highly skilled and they're drafted super high. They maybe deviate away from, you know, the maintenance and taking care of their body because they almost feel like they don't need to.
Right.
The guys that do and the guys that embrace it obviously land up sustaining their career and having a lengthened career and are able to maintain that production. So props to him for not staying complacent and just relying on his skill and his ability that he's able to really take his game to that next level. You know, 12 years in, and again, last season was his best year overall point production based on games played. So
it's
not by accident.
No, I mean, he's, you know, he scored 264 goals in this league.
I mean, I know.
That's a lot of goals, man. That's a lot of goals.
Yeah, and not easy to do.
And he actually, like, I think we talked about a little bit, he can see the ice too. He can make plays. He makes plays. He can pass. I mean, you know, he's got, you know, 260 assists to go along with those goals. So, I mean, you know,
you talk
about 524 points and 790 games or something. It's not bad, man.
All right. Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah. And he's the best guy the Flyers got in front of the net. You know, you lose Wayne Simmonds, you know, his presence around the net, not that he's Wayne Simmonds in the sense of, you know, that, you know, the element of toughness, but he's tough enough to hold his ground and stand in front of the net. He's really good at redirecting pucks and finding pucks around the net. And, you know,
yeah, he's so gotta
go
good
those greasy areas. Yeah.
He, even when, like, if he say he doesn't miss a tip, but if he's in tight and he gets a rebound, like, he puts it in the net. Like he finds a way to put that puck in the net in small little areas. So he's a hell of a player. He was a great pickup. And like you said, like this past year, you know, everything started kind of snowballing downhill, unfortunately. And, you know, the way he was going, it looked like he was going to score 30 goals this year,
right?
You know, because he was hot, but then, you know, there's tons of reasons why and things that happen. We all know, but, he's still kicking. He still looks good. He's skating well. Everything.
Yeah, he is. He looks good.
So it's nice to see it. And it was nice to have him on. He's such a good dude. Funny guy. We probably could have kept that going for a while.
Yeah.
There's some other things I kind of wanted to talk to him about, but we were on there. We ran out of time, but we'll get it back in.
Yeah.
We'll
get it
back in when we're in the studio, when he gets back to town.
Absolutely.
Have some fun with him.
Exactly.
I'm a little jealous of that gym.
Oh my God. It was a nice,
I don't care about anything else in there. There's the hoops. Like when he gets that hoop up there, I think you and I are going to have to make a little roadie.
Yeah.
A little road trip.
Knuckles goes on the road. A little road trip.
I just want to go in there and shoot. How about Ryan Kessler's place? Have you been noticing that joint?
No, I haven't seen it. No.
So he's got some stuff going on Instagram too. And he's got everything, man. He's got an indoor, he's got the hoop stuff. It kind of reminded me of JBR's spot he was showing us yesterday.
Beauty.
So, anyway, yeah, man.
Right on, knuckleheads. That wraps up episode 29. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 30.
Until then, stay safe, have a little fun, and get greasy, knuckleheads.
Get greasy. Knuckleheads, see you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.